What promised? Let me try that again, even though it's live. What looked like to be a promising 4-0 road trip all of a sudden hit the skids. They break even, bringing home 4 out of a possible 8 points on the road. The Sharks lose a tough one to the Washington Capitals, and they lose more than just the game. They lost a lot of fights, too. 1993 called the Sharks want their third period back. Anywho, welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. I'm, of course, Eric Kura, alongside with some guy you might have remembered.
Hey,
what's
now
up, Chris?
It's been a while.
It's been a while. It's good to see you, though. Nonetheless, if you want to be part of...
I'm hanging there.
Good, good, good. Nonetheless, if you want to be a part of the show, you can chat with us and Sharks fans in the YouTube chat on the page or on the app. You can also hit us up using the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and YouTube. You can find us there along with a number of ways to check out our shows. Hi, everyone. And let's first off say hello to Chris. It's been a while. How's everything? You just did a relocation. How's that coming along for you?
Yes, I am now in San Diego goals territory, if you will. I bought a house down south, and that's where I've been for the last quite a while now. So haven't paid as much attention to the Sharks as I normally do, but what a game to come back on. That was a fun one.
Boy, yeah, you picked the right one to come back, isn't that for sure? Sharks can widely consider the best team in the league when it comes to defense play, and their penalty kill is one of the top two in the league. Yeah, that just went by the wayside tonight.
Well, it's what I've been thinking from what I've seen of the Sharks this season, which hasn't been as much as it normally is. But they don't have the offensive skill to play 60 minutes. Their defense is good, but good offenses will eventually beat a good defense, usually, if you're not occupying the puck on the other end of the ice. And they don't get that possession time anymore like they used to. Thornton is getting older. Marlowe's gone. Kutcher has been fantastic this season, but there's only so much one guy can do. And they don't have the, you know, they have a, I think I described it before as they have a first line and 2/3 lines and a fourth line. They don't have the top end talent they need to play 60 minutes. And that's why I think they can't really play 60 minutes. And, you know, it's not to overreact to one game. I've kind of kept track of what's been going on. And it's really the high end teams. Tampa Bay kicked their ass twice. Washington, obviously, tonight, a very rare occasion where they beat the Sharks, because you said 1993 called. Yeah, 1993 called. Hey, the Capitals are beating the Sharks again. Like, that just doesn't happen. That has barely happened. I think Paul Gackle tweeted, this is only the second time in the last, I don't know, 20, or not 20, they said like 99, so 18 years? Second time in the last 18 years?
Something like that.
Yeah, so it's... second time the Capitals have beaten them on the road or at home. Whatever. Yeah. Sorry, I'm
in Washington.
Yes, in Washington. I'm tired, but the point is, yeah, the Sharks have had quite a run. I mean, we've been their Buffalo, so to speak, which is something I've always pointed out about that is the Sharks lose to Buffalo, but the Sharks have also had some really good runs against other teams in the East that are really good teams. For a long time, they were beating the Penguins constantly. And unfortunately, that trend reversed at the worst possible time. But what can you do? Anyways, I'll let you, that's my iPhone here. That's my initial pondering about this, but we should get into some details here. Should talk a little bit about this.
Absolutely. The Sharks sounded like they were flat-footed as I was listening to this game with Dan Rusinowski on the first period. And it caught them as Devontae Smith-Pelly, 16:49 into the first period, from Carlson and Beagle, made it 1-0 Washington. The things with this, Chris, is that they seem like the Sharks are kind of get a little excited to go home. And granted, they're apparently they're staying the night and then flying out tomorrow. But I think they kind of were maybe looking forward to getting home after a week plus on the road.
I don't know. I'm not a mind reader, so I'm not going to speculate about where their minds are. It didn't look to me like it was a mental problem. It just, again, it looks like the Capitals are, I mean, they're always a great offensive team, and the Sharks, they had some really good moments. You know, they played some good defense at times, but you know, if you give a great offense enough chances, they're going to score. And part of it is the Sharks are impotent on, or they aren't that good at drawing penalties. They're impotent on their own power play. They don't drive much possession at even. So really, it's, you know, let the Capitals keep on taking their shots. If you can't sustain your own pressure, because, you know, they had times where they pressure the Capitals quite a bit. Then they had, I think it was like 11-minute lull without even a shot. And that's what I mean is, like, if you give them 11 minutes where they don't have to really play a lot of defense, they're going to find their opportunities. It's going to happen. It's going to wear on those defensive guys. Sorry, I have something in my face here. It's going to wear on those defensive guys, and they're going to score. I mean, same thing with Tampa. Like Tampa Bay, both games start out reasonably well, but you give a great explosive offense enough opportunity, they're going to score eventually. It's pretty much inevitable, or you're going to have a lot of heart attack moments, which occasionally happens. I can't really blame Jones for any of this, because almost every one of those goals was either a tip or a 1-on-0 for him, where he had to play the shooter 1-on-1 or more or less 1-on-1. So I can't really blame Jones much. You know, there's a rebound. It's, you know, they need more offense going the other way. They need more puck pressure. They need actually to be making the Capitals play defense instead of them making them play offense sometimes, and sometimes just having to skate it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you kind of hit some great points right off the bat there. I'm kind of going into the chat. Laurel says, seriously, we should cancel Christmas if Puck Guy does not get a computer tech for a gift that fixes all his system settings. Oh, jeez. Am I AOLing? We thought it would be you, Chris.
Yeah, no, you're usually the one who AOLOLs around here, but right. I might AOLOL a little bit because I'm still getting everything set up. I've been in this house all of 3 days now. So yeah, and my internet just got hooked up today and it's got a lot of problems, but we'll get there. But brand new internet, still better than Puck Guys.
Yeah, unbelievable, right, folks? Alex, of all people, says, hey, look, a background.
Yeah, see this? I did this in 3 days, Alex. There you go. Suck it.
Jeez. Moving onward to the second period. The Sharks had a potential 2-on-1, and instead of taking the shot on goal, there was a cross ice pass. Then Bernsey, I thought, looked like he was going to pinch, and it breaks up. Then Ovechkin gets a breakaway, and well, it's Ovechkin, so he scores. And it's his seventh season that he's gotten 20 plus goals. It's Ovi. I mean, let's be real here. 20th of the season, made it 2-0, and that's when I thought it started. This isn't looking good right now. And that was about halfway through, 7-11 into the second period on that one.
That's a case where I think, you know, maybe Burns makes that pinch against a lot of guys, but Alex Ovechkin's probably one guy you might want to respect a little bit more. Like, that's one where you might want to rethink who it is that's right there in front of him instead of, you know, go for it against 90% of the guys in the league. Probably not Ovechkin, probably not a few other guys. Connor McJesus. Real quick in the chat there, getting back to what we were saying for 1 second, James Abel says 30th in scoring, tells you all you need to know. And pretty much that's it. That's what I mean. If you're that low in scoring, you're probably not possessing the puck much either, because the two go hand in hand. And good team, you know, good offensive teams, if you give them enough chances, they will probably, you know, not always, because they're, you know, I think, what was that, the epic 66 shot game or whatever it was the Sharks had years ago against the Oilers, where they could not buy a goal, even though they absolutely owned, you know, occasionally goes the other way, but most of the time, if you give a team enough possession, they're going to score on you eventually. Yeah. And and Laurel taking a shot, my walls suck. Okay.
So apparently she wants to repaint, I believe, your walls.
That'll probably be happening. It's kind of low on the priority list right now. Mm-hmm. You know, redoing electrical and all kinds of other homeowner-ish stuff is on the list first. But we'll see. But I actually have some Shark stuff in my background for once. I have I have the black cat, I have a few pucks, I have Sharks territory, I have Sharky. So, you know, I have something for once.
Nice. No, it looks
good. And look, Christine asking, is that former kids' room? Yes, it is. It is my office now, though. I actually have a dedicated After Dark studio here. Maybe I could do a green screen. And I could do green screen against this wall here.
Nice.
Who knows?
That'd be cool.
Anyways, Ovechkin breakaway. Yeah, I mean, I can't really fault anyone but Burns on that. It just, you know, he made a impromptu decision that was probably a little bit reckless with Ovechkin being the guy. But, I mean, there's worse decisions I've seen him make, honestly. Right. So I'm not that upset over that one. I wasn't that upset either of the first two goals, honestly. They were goals that will happen from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and especially with Ovechkin. I mean, that's just crazy. Couple of things in the chat before we go on. Hockey Jerk says, Puck Guy has stubble coming in. It reminds me of his epic playoff beard. Yes, this is what happens when you've had a 17-hour work day today. James Abel, 66 goals in 26 games is just not going to cut it. Yeah, I completely agree with you on that.
Well, that is brutal.
But, you know, who did get a goal for the Sharks tonight was Timo Meier. Yes, he banged home a rebound when he wasn't getting covered, made it 2-1. That's your only goal for the Sharks tonight from Braun at 11:32.
What time is it? It's Timo time. Unfortunately, it was no one else's time. It was solely Timo time.
Yes.
That was pretty much all it was.
Yes, and his first in 8 games, about time. And for the high expectations that Meier has with the team, let's get him going, and especially with the Joes. Maybe he can get the Joes going for that matter, too. And it looked like the Sharks were headed that way to getting things going and maybe get a chance to tie this game up. However, a power play goal by Brett Connolly, his fourth of the season, makes it 3-1, one of those painful last-minute goals. Although we weren't sure it was a goal, you know, at a quick look at it, it looked like it might have hit off the post, but it did hit off the back of the post. To which PDB will, you know, challenge this on, but they, wait, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. They made sure it was a goal first, then Peter DeBoer decides to challenge it on the offsides. Of course, new this year, if you challenge on an offside and you lose, you get a penalty on top of being down another goal. Brody mentioned this tonight, and I'm not sure if you got the Sharks feed tonight, but Brody mentioned that the offsides camera on the plexiglass should try to cover the whole thing, and you wonder if that one camera angle made it what's the word I'm looking for?
Inconclusive.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Inconclusive to overall, because it looked pretty close on the replay.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think it was offsides. I could see why a ref would be hesitant to call it because I couldn't see any one definitive like that's it. But I do question. I wonder if how reluctant or not refs are to call something back based off of, I'm playing two angles synchronized. How much do I trust that these are truly synchronized and that I can say off of two angles that are looking at two completely different things that I think that's the case? And I wonder, because I think with a definitive shot of each in synchronized, you could have said, yes, that was pretty clearly offside. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they are reluctant to call that offside in that circumstance, because I never saw any one angle where it showed everything you could see that's offside. But I would say based off of multiple angles, it sure looked to me like it was offside. But I like the change this year to the rule. I think you should be able to challenge something's offside, but I think, yeah, if you do it just all the time, give it more. Shoot, that's our coach. Crap. if you do it constantly and you get it wrong constantly, yeah, you should have to get punished for that. So I think it's kind of a best of both worlds, really. And yeah, PDB, they penalize you for this now. Sorry, I'm very tired. It's been quite the weekend.
You and me both.
Yeah, relocating 400 miles and driving and all that fun stuff. It's definitely taken its toll. Oh, yes. But yeah, Peter DeBoer, how has he been this season, honestly? Like I said, I've been in and out. Has he challenged many of those this season? I was hoping Brody might give like a recap of how many he's failed at this season.
Not as much as he was last year or the year before. He's been pretty lackadaisical about it. But of course, as it's been the running thing all season, we're not going to win it.
Oh, yeah. And I've definitely noticed the trend of the Sharks cannot get a call to go their way to save their lives. Like, honestly, at this point, if a Sharks goal doesn't get reviewed immediately, I just kind of wonder, like, is Toronto asleep or what's going on?
It's just sometimes they're just bad luck on the goals. Apparently, my yawning is very noticeable, so I apologize for that. But nonetheless, Joshua Butterwick says Joe Thornton is a beast, and what a segue for that. Let's talk about the hit that kind of stirred up the third period with Joe Thornton's butt hitting TJ Oshie.
I believe only the second most notable Joe Thornton hit on TJ Oshie in history.
Yes. What did you take on it?
It didn't look like much to me. It looked a little like, yeah, he was trying not to. And, you know, sometimes that happens. I don't know. With a history there, I get why. I'm sure TJ Oshie probably didn't think much of it. But, I really don't know. It seemed like... it's like I try not to be a mind reader. I don't know what the intent was. It didn't look like there's occasionally times like, oh yeah, that was a dirty hit. Thornton's not really a dirty player. Well, depends on who you ask, but generally he's not a dirty player.
Right. Yeah. Usually he isn't. He's had, but this one's kind of interesting because he was already getting contacted with Contour. And that's why he was there at the spot where, Thornton's butt kind of goes into his face. I can't say it was intentional. I think it just happened. My question to you is this: does Jumbo get something for it?
I think unlikely, just given his own personal history, unless someone goes like, well, it's the same guy twice over, 7 years. But I at most, if there's anything at all, maybe it's one game, but I tend to doubt it. Like, I don't think it's clear cut enough, and he does not have the rep. Now let's play the game of, if that was Rafi Torres, how many games would it be?
Oh, since he used his butt, it would have been 62 games.
62. Easily. I will go. I'm gonna say 91. That's my guess. In the chat, please tell us how many games you think Rafi would have gotten.
Nonetheless, it was an interesting third period that saw Capitals tough guy Tom Wilson challenging Joe Thornton to a fight. This just coming out of friend of the show, Kevin Kurz. PDB not happy about it, and he said this, and I quote, "Well, like I said, if someone would have grabbed Joe in the heat of the moment after the play because they thought a liberty was taken, then I've got no problem with that. To go into the dressing room, think about it, come out in the first shift and do that premeditated crap is just garbage." You had a tweet about the instigator penalty, and I'm kind of with you on that.
This has happened on more than one occasion where I'm like, what's the point of the instigator rule if you don't actually call it when the criteria is met? Like, the criteria is clearly met there. Gen X, real quick, in the chat, saying Thornton was previously fined for a slash, I believe. Sorry, I just went out of my view there. He is a repeat offender under the CBA. So there is some precedent, although I would think in the terms of whoever makes that judgment call, there's a difference between if he had a slash versus if he had a dirty hit on someone recently. I think that would make it a lot more likely just based on how human brains work. But yeah, good point there. And there's a lot of guesses there. I see over a million games for Rafi Torres from everything NHL. He's probably correct. And hockey jerk, very juvenile. 69, dude. Yeah, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just like, what's the, like, you know, whether you like the rule or not, what's the point of having the instigator rule? What's the point of it if you don't actually call it? Like, if the rule's there, call it, because that was the guy was going way out of his lane to try and start a fight. Mm-hmm. Thornton wasn't initially having any of it. He threw down, and for about 2 seconds, he held his own against a guy who fights a lot more than him, but he then got walloped, which is unsurprising.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree. But that started PDB getting, frustrated, and there was some jawing between the coaches, and then you had the Sharks kind of being a little more physical and everything. And I thought that kind of threw the Sharks off mentally and physically. And the Caps took advantage of it with the power plays that they got. Caps finished the game 2-for-6 on the power play. They pretty much wrapped it up with the games that are the goals that they got either late in the second or in the third. And, I was disappointed by that. I thought, you're still down by 2 goals. You still have a shot at it. Don't get into, reacting to the Capitals reacting to Jumbo's hit on Oshie.
Yeah, they kind of let the Capitals drag that one down into the mud when, you need to be focused on scoring. You need to make them actually take an instigator, though I don't know what would have actually warranted the refs ever calling it at that point, but make them actually take it. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, I think the Sharks are just really, they're undermanned in terms of offense. Like, they don't have the offense this year because Thornton looks a lot older 1 year later, and it's not that surprising. At some point he would probably hit a pretty good cliff. And I've said it before, I really, not to crap on Pavelski, but he is in many ways a product of Thornton. Like, Thornton absolutely has made so many wingers in his career, and Pavelski would be probably a second, maybe a first liner without Thornton. But with Thornton, he looked like one of the best forwards in all of hockey for a couple years there. So it's not to take anything away and say he's a bad player. It's just to say, Thornton has made many, many guys. He makes average players look great, and he makes great players look like superstars. And without him doing what he can do, possessing the puck and passing the puck as much, because he's definitely slower, he can't hit the windows he used to be able to hit. So they don't have that top line that they used to that could balance the Couture line that would take all those defensive matchups. And yeah, it sucks, but I think they need more top line talent before they can really compete again.
Yeah, and unfortunately they don't have the assets to get that right now, in my opinion. It's got to come.
Oh, careful. You're going to start Gen X banging his drum.
That's why I phrased it as I did. So, Brody and Curtis are off the air now. So we'd like to welcome those of you who finished watching, NBC, Sports California coverage. You are watching Teal Town After Dark. Oh my.
Oh my. Throwback to the old days.
Yeah.
I guess I'm the throwback here. So I guess, we're just doing throwbacks. It's throwback night on Teal Town USA.
That's right.
You can get your Chris bobbleheads at the exit. They come with the authentic headphones and everything.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and it would go perfectly.
Maybe posed
GIF.
Posed like
yes.
This.
Yes.
Yeah, like little arms, like they do that.
Nice.
I'm sorry. That's a really long. That's a really deep callback, but.
Yes,
I'll let you do your thing.
But to those who know, that's one of our infamous gifts. Yes, Gen X, I said gifts. So nonetheless, Brody and Curtis are off the air, so we welcome all of you to the show. If you want to be a part of the show, join us in the chat. You know, you can get us on the YouTube page or on the app, and you can also hit us up on the Twitter machine using the hashtag TealTownUSA. Of course, follow all of our social media channels, including YouTube. We just hit 600. We're at 601 now. Tell your friends that they should be 602 and 603 and so on and so forth.
Heck, make some fake accounts and like is like extra subscribers.
Absolutely.
No, actually, no. Not that I endorse that. Not that I would ever do that. But.
Too late. So,
No, I'm just saying if someone were to do that, I would have nothing to do with it.
Nothing at all. Which was how many goals the Sharks scored in the third period? Nothing at all. They definitely got into some fisticuffs, though. Timo Meier kind of had a throwdown with literally a throwdown by Brooks Orpik. Barclay Goodrow, you know, took a high sticking penalty, and then the guy took exception to it. Or someone else took exception to it. So they dropped the gloves. And that was crazy. Little chippiness at the end there. Brendan Dillon was kind of getting frustrated at the 1 minute remaining mark. And then, of course, he takes a slash, which ended up being a 5 minute major for a slash and a game misconduct. You know, barely any time for the Capitals to do anything. However, that might be the one that might be looked at for a potential fine or suspension.
I mean, when did the Capitals turn into the Ducks? I mean, this felt more like a Ducks game than a Sharks Capitals game. Usually the Sharks Capitals, it's like Sharks go in, kick their ass, get up several goals early. The Capitals get one or two late to make it interesting. Yep. And everyone goes home happy when the Sharks win. Well, not everyone, Washington, but no one cares about those guys. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to say AJ's famous slogan when it comes to screw those guys? Am I allowed to say that anymore?
You are allowed to say it. There is a swear jar, which is apparently being filled up currently by AJ himself. To which I think he's going to essentially pay for the entire end of the season party by himself.
AJ was like buying beers for everyone at the end of the season there. Yeah, I saw you guys went to IBU the other night, and I was jealous. I was a long ways away as I would have been there.
Yes. You will be missed locally, my friend. But yeah, we did have a great time there, and we do want to thank everybody who came out again to that game, even though the game kind of stunk for that one, just like this one. But kind of getting, as we put a bow on this, what did you think of Jones? What did you think of, again, I thought they just were not going to I don't know. They seem like they are just frustrated with not taking shots. They're trying to make the fancy pass. Kevin O'Bank, I thought, had a rough game tonight. You kind of wonder now, are one or maybe two Sharks going to, have the league look at something?
Yeah, I would definitely say the league will probably at the very least look at them. Whether anything comes of it, who knows? Jones, I think, I've given him crap when he deserves it. And tonight he did fine. He made the saves he's supposed to make. Pretty much all the ones that went in weren't on him. Maybe he makes that save on Ovechkin, but it's the guy who was, one of the best goal or the best goal scorer of a generation. So hey, it's not like it's some guy who's easy to stop on that one. Jones is fine. Defense wasn't horrible. Like I said, they were having to play too much defense. And that's really, I think, what I saw all night long was the Sharks could not sustain pressure. They couldn't make the Capitals play enough defense to give their own defense a chance. That's really, I think, what the problem I see is right now with the Sharks. They can't, and I don't think they understand that they are no longer that premium offensive team. Like, all those years they could get fancy. They had that level of skill. Now they don't have that much top end skill. They need to just play more north-south. They need to be opportunistic. They need to model themselves more after the Predators and other teams that aren't that great offensively. Make it, and that's, I think, I don't think that's going to happen for another year or two, and that'll probably be when Thornton is gone and really the team has to change its identity. I mean, it's already lost a big part of its identity for the last 20 years when Marlowe left, and I think when Thornton moves on, that'll be really the end of that era.
Yeah, and they're going to need to find somebody to get on there for the offense-wise, because I think defensively they're okay, but right now you need goals. And as longtime Sharks fans would know, in life, it takes goals to win.
Yeah, you need goals, smart goals, if you will. Yes. I think that's the business speak term,
Right.
You need all the efficiencies and all the smart goals.
Yes. And with that, the Sharks go to 14-9-2. They head home. They'll take on the Hurricanes. We'll talk about that in just a jiffy. But we go around the league, or as I like to call the NHL, wraparound. We got four games in the slate for the evening in Boston. Or I'm sorry, in Florida, it's Islanders 5, Panthers 4 in a shootout. Gandel, Anders Lee, Thomas Hickey gets his first goal of the year from Hosang. Aaron Ekblad, Alexander Barkov. Why isn't this not loading for me? Thank you, NHL.com, for helping me out here.
Because AOL.
No, not because of AOL. It's just not. It's how the frickin' site's set up. Dang it.
Am I the only? I guess I'm not the only one who thinks that site is so incredibly slow to load. Ever since they relaunched it, okay, cool, I see the site, but I'm waiting for the features, actually, all the menus and all the things I actually want to do on the site. If they load sometimes a day, that'd be great.
I am in full agreement with you there. Anders Lee, Thomas Hickey, Brock Nelson, John Tavares.
Dr. Jackal in the chat, NHL reach around. I just like you're just... That is a screw you, Gen X. Be sure to read off the NFL scores to get back at him. There you go.
Yes, yes. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are playing tonight. Okay. The Niners actually won a game yesterday, too, for that matter. My goodness. And like one person said in the chat, and I forgive you, forgive me for not knowing your name offhand, the Sharks need their own Jimmy G. And I completely agree on that. So the Islanders win in a shootout 5-4. They go to 16-8-2 on the campaign. and the Panthers are at still 24 points. There are other games in progress right now. It's late in the third period where the Predators lead the Bruins 5-3 as Smith has two goals for the Preds. Bonino has one along with Fiala and Forsberg.
Bonino, Nick Bonino.
Yes, no.
I hate that goal when that is probably my all-time favorite call of any goal ever.
Oh, see, I thought it was the next game after with Jonas Tanska.
Yeah, that was pretty good too, but the Bonino one I think was just the most epic thing I've ever heard.
And of course it had to be a Penguin. Yeah, of course. In the second period, barring a complete meltdown, which wouldn't surprise us, the Flyers are looking like they will end their 10-game losing streak. They are currently up 4-1 on the Calgary Flames as they begin a road trip. Philip Raffle with two goals in 25 seconds, for that matter, and Wayne Simmonds got one less than a minute after that. So a quick three-goal burst for the Flyers as suddenly broke the game open, even though they're getting outshot at this time. But Calgary looking like they might be the one that goes down to Philly.
I'd like to congratulate them on breaking their losing streak, maybe. But there is still time. There's still time to save it.
And AJ Strong on the Twitter machine, I look forward to seeing when Chris JWS gets a real internet connection delivered to the new pad. Puck Guy 14, maybe for Christmas. Yes, I know. Wow. Wow. Really?
I have a 3-day-old internet, and it's already better than Puck Guy's.
Yeah, whatever. Anywho. Well, you know, it is what it is. And that's what we have for the wraparound. Only four games going on tonight. Here, let's see. Let's go into the chat. The Hockey Jerk says the 49ers have won twice, so they're only kind of mediocre. Yes.
Take that, Gen X. We mentioned football.
Yes. Again, Hockey Jerk, if net neutrality is repealed, everyone will have internet like Chris and Puck Guy. This can't happen. That's true. That's
true. It's true.
Alex's most recent comment, that's what she said. Let's see what else we got here.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to this, see how bad it was. So I'd be like, yeah, no, there's a joke I was going to make. I'm going to pass on it. No.
Anywho, we get ready for the Sharks to come home for a 3-game homestand. And that includes a rare back-to-back, home games. But the first they start off with the Carolina Hurricanes on Thursday night, and it's a Giants night there. So there are the special Giants hats if you got the extra special ticket to get the hat. So nonetheless,
it's and watch the lower bowl still be mostly empty.
Yes, I'm sure it will be, but you know what?
So there's something on that actually that Kurz tweeted out, pointing out that he's noticed that it's not just the Sharks that seem to be having their loyal fan base show up for games. And it's not just Florida where no one cares about hockey either. Mm-hmm. It seems to be happening, maybe not league-wide, but it's happening more outside of just the die-hardest of markets, if that's how you could put it. It seems, and what I say is, the NHL took credit for their revenue going up year over year for the last decade, when if you looked at the way all of sports was trending with the advent of streaming and the advent of just there was more money suddenly in sports in general, I think Bettman took way too much credit for that when really it was the rising tide and they were just along for the ride. Like, mm-hmm. At best, they were at parity with every other league in terms of the amount their revenues went up year over year. Because you look at every other league, they had a nice little climb over the last decade. And that's what it's been, I think, is that the NHL bubble or the sports bubble is bursting, and the NHL, unfortunately, is at the bottom of the totem pole as it is in the U.S. So that's what my take is. And I think the Sharks are just one of several teams. I think you said Philadelphia is one of them. I forget which other teams. There's a few other teams that are notable, you know, have significant fan bases, but they are not showing up like they used to. And I think the sports bubble is bursting a bit, because you see even the mighty NFL seeing a decline in ratings.
Well, in ratings and in ticket sales. I mean, it's tough.
It hasn't hit revenue on any of them yet, because all of them are still increasing revenue year over year. But eventually that's going to hit the bottom line. It may take a few years to hit there, but eventually it will. It's pretty much inevitable. If you keep seeing that happen, it's going to eventually start actually affecting the dollar amounts.
The irony that it hits as the first window for the CBA to be reopened and the NHL hits, that would be very interesting and very concerning, I think, at the same time. You know, the chat going, like Alex saying, NFL and NBA all down this season. Yeah, absolutely. I like how it's turned into baseball hot stove. Now that we mentioned it, it's Giants night. But everybody talking.
are they going to get to the guy with the bat? The
guy with the bat from the guy that played with the other orange and black team might be coming over to the other orange and black team. It's not the one orange and black team from Baltimore.
JCS? So. Yeah, they're gonna get that JCS guy. I don't think the kids call him that, but I'll call him that because that sounds cool. So I don't give a crap about the Giants.
Yeah. And like Ian said, enjoy your lockout. Yeah, I have a feeling we're headed that way. I really do. You know, one day these general managers will figure out to not go overboard with the player contracts and control themselves. But no,
no. Never.
AJ on Twitter, the last time Levi's was sold out, hockey was being played there. Hashtag stadium series.
Oh. Hashtag heyo. Yeah, no, that's the... Yeah, no, I think that there's a lot of really mediocre sports being played these days, and the increased amount of coverage of it is just highlighting that. Actually, I shouldn't say there is more mediocre sports. There's always been a lot of mediocre crap out there. But the fact that they're covering it so much more now, suddenly people are realizing how much crap there is out there. Because, you know, the best thing about the NFL for the longest time, you only saw a couple games a week.
Yeah.
So you were, you know, people were left wanting more. Now that they can see it in all its mediocre glory, good job, guys. You killed the cold goose.
Yes.
Good job.
Alex in the chat, Taylor Swift played her, so shake it off.
Yeah, and then Dr. Jackal, it's a three-team, you know, NBA is a three-team league. Yep, baseball, I would disagree, but the NBA, yeah. You at the beginning of any given year, you could name the three teams, and almost guaranteed you could name the winner in one of those three, sometimes less than three in a given year. Baseball, I would say, is a little more unpredictable because there's a lot more just variance and a lot more things go into it. Same thing with hockey. It's one of the reasons why I like hockey. One of the reasons why I like baseball, the sport, not any one team, is there's actual parity and that the sum of the parts or whatever that saying is.
Yeah,
anyway, way off topic there.
Yes, we have officially gone off the rails, which is not typical of this show at all.
Well, I mean, in terms of going off the rails, it didn't involve any, didn't involve Sandstorm, didn't involve any fanfic about sports writers or anything like that. So, hey, it's a win.
Wait, you want Sandstorm?
We
could get Sandstorm.
Like, no, you guys are going to get us a copyright strike at this rate. Like, I'm just like, I keep checking every day. I'm like, please, guys, don't get us a copyright strike. Like, I guess even the people who wrote Sandstorm, I have no idea who actually wrote it.
Darude.
Don't even defend that copyright because they're so ashamed of it.
No, they're not ashamed of it. They are enjoying the getting a kick out of it.
I mean, it's the vanilla ice of, I don't know, what's the genre? What genre would you even call that? Crappy stadium songs? I don't even know what Sandstorm is supposed to be.
Technically, it's in one of the
glow stick electronica. I don't know.
Yeah, it is considered EDM.
EDM.
And AJ again asking, is in time for interpretive dance by Chris JWS yet?
No, it's most definitely not.
Are you sure?
Also, no, my arms are pretty much about to fall off after loading and unloading a truck over the last few days.
Are you sure? We got the toy trumpet version of Sandstorm.
If we get the air horn version of Sandstorm, maybe.
Oh, quickly, somebody get me that in the chat. Holy
someone,
crap.
Yeah, someone get him that.
Someone get me that quickly.
One of our most infamous off-air hangouts we did, we were just literally looking up every song with air horns, and we were giggling like little high 16-year-olds. Like, that's how bad it was. We found, like, Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, or whatever the name of that song is, with an air horn, so.
Yes, yes, yes. All right.
I agree the sleeping mofo, Sandstorm, and the Woo should be banned from SAP.
Okay, I agree with the Woos. I absolutely agree with the Woos.
Okay, this is going to be a shit. Yeah. This is going to be just terrible.
All right, so let me present to Chris. There we go. Yes.
Only close to the mic, I can barely hear it, but that is incredible.
Oh boy. I think that might be actually a little.
It's a little too low for me to get into it, though. It's really hard.
Oh,
wow, that's something else, though.
Wow. Okay, that's just
oh gosh. Oh my goodness, that
wow.
That is incredible. I'm crying. I'm laughing so hard.
That's that might be worth getting us up to 700 subscribers now. So, do yourself a favor. Make sure you hit the subscribe button down below. But in case you missed anything, including replaying that, by all means, hit us up on TealTownUSA.com for all your Sharks podcast fun stuff just like that, or Rocket's Interpretive Dance. You can also catch us on one of your favorite podcatchers, whether it's iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, you name it. All right, chat. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, Amanda B, you broke Chris. Yeah, no, I think I actually, that's probably the hardest I've laughed in the show in a long time. But that was literally that off-air hangout we had a year or two ago where we're having our production meeting where we basically just ended up devolving into us with all these air horn covers of every song you can imagine.
Oh boy, that's classic. All right, I've already seen that dancing rocket thing 100,000 times from everything in NHL. Yes, you know, it's priceless. If you haven't seen it yet, go on to our YouTube channel and check it out. And like I said, while you're there, hit that subscribe button for sure. All right, so Thursday, Carolina Giants night. What are you expecting, Chris? Besides Sandstorm at the game.
Well, are they playing a backup goalie? And how many guys do they have that have not scored their first NHL goal? You let me know that, and I'll tell you my predictions.
Well, see, here's the thing. Scott Darling has been their main go-to guy, but to quote our good friend Drew Weber, they could Cam Ward this bitch. And
yes. You know. Oh, yes. Drew Weber's Carolina Hurricanes, who I saw in person earlier this year, actually.
Yes,
you did. And it was mostly Penguins fans there. It was, well, if you think Sharks attendance is bad, ooh boy, you've not seen that arena.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But, yeah, I would hope the Sharks could bounce back because, I mean, they're staying afloat, but they need to finally find some way to get into a groove and get some wins.
Yeah. Absolutely. And one last thing, you know, I just thought of this just now. Seattle approved their arena deal, and apparently that also includes a pending NHL franchise in the coming months. So that's going to be interesting. I don't know if that means it's an expansion team or somebody's getting relocated.
I would assume expansion team because the NHL, for some reason, it hasn't realized that the market is already saturated. They're just going to keep adding teams. I mean, I'm waiting for 2020 when we add the 40th team and we can introduce a new division.
The Intergalactic?
Yeah, the Intergalactic division, exactly. Mm-hmm. Why not Zoidberg?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's from the Seattle Times. Reporting that the NHL is expected in the coming months to announce a franchise to Seattle as the City Council of Seattle approved a $600 million renovation of Key Arena. So apparently for sure they're going to get an NHL team. The question is, though, will they give a damn with the Sounders and the Seahawks there? And at the same time, they want their basketball team back so badly.
So Dr. Jackal chiming in, they approved a MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, which I'm not sure if he's joking or if that's actually a thing. I have no idea. So
there is some stuff in there. Oh boy. You have the camera stuck on Chris. Well, that's not actually a bad thing, but we took it off.
No, I would say it's a bad thing. No. He said they won't announce a team. There's no ownership group in place. Yeah, I know that, but at the same time, I would never put it past the NHL to try and throw something together, you know, with a Sand True as a mascot. I would never put it past them. Oh, wait, that already happened.
That's very true. But it'll be interesting to see if they do get of the 32nd team, what are the parameters for expansion? You know, and I mean, just wonder.
It would be mostly be just stealing fans off of Vancouver because everyone I talk to up there, outside of this this jerk off named Gen X, is a Vancouver fan.
Vancouver?
No, nobody said Vancouver.
You just did right there.
You heard the sound, but that wasn't actually what I said.
Kevin Lacey in the chat, and he brings up a good point here. And if the NHL does go to Seattle, what happens to those local junior teams? Do they fold? That'll be an interesting thing because, ironically, for a number of years, and including when Marlowe played there, the Thunderbirds played at Key Arena. So that'll be quite interesting. In regards to that, my concern is that Seattle may be suited for their local junior teams than a pro team. That's also a good point.
Gen X point out, it's an agreement with the city council to approve a plan if conditions are met. It's not a deal to finance or do construction. So, okay. Yeah, that basically it's a very early preliminary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And based off of Seattle's history, I would say it probably doesn't get much farther than that, but you know, you never know. Who knows?
That's true.
You know, I'd never put it past the NHL to not try to expand more when what they should be doing is contracting. Not that I want less hockey, but just keep the quality up, guys. We don't need more teams. We need you to do a better job with the ones you got.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
Well, if that moves forward at all, though, we will probably have to have a special guest, Gen X, who is probably a taxpayer of said region. I would assume he pays his taxes, to give his opinions on a potential expansion there.
Yes. guess the Metro Hawks or some sort of that name. Anywho, final thoughts, Chris, as we wrap things up for tonight.
Final thoughts. It's good to be back. I'm sorry, Laurel. I will fix my background some way or another. I actually deliberately misaligned this poster just for you.
Nice.
This one right here. If you notice, it's slightly off. I did that because I know you always are complaining about AJ's background. So, but yeah, it's good to be back, and hopefully I can fix my internet too.
Yes, he'll fix his internet. It'll be better than mine, which is obviously a requirement. So,
yeah, the Puck guy is like, yeah, it's like, don't be that. That's a requirement we interview for After Dark.
Just
internet connection better than Puck guy.
Yeah, whatever. All right, fine. All right, with that, we will wrap it up. Of course, make sure you hit the subscribe button down below. Check out TealTownUSA.com for all the stuff afterwards. We will be back with you following the game on Thursday night against Drew Weber's Carolina Hurricanes. I will see you at the tank for that one, rocking my Giants mashup hat. And until Thursday night, keep it real, keep it teal, keep it real teal, and rock that air horn like nothing else. Good night, everyone.